The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Look at O'Connor, she's well clear of Talia Brooks at the moment and surely heading for that silver.
So impressed by Vaninen to be a fantastic shot putter and running here on her way to goal, but O'Connor has a healthy gap on the American and it's extending.
And O'Connor will be looking for, what, 2:11.50 or thereabouts to break the Irish record. And running very, very strongly. A big gap in front of Kate O'Connor to the two athletes out in front who are not figuring for the medals. But Vaninen sitting in behind Kate O'Connor. She will take the gold for Finland. Kate O'Connor is going to take the silver because the Americans, Talia Brooks, a long way behind and coming through just outside that time that Kate O'Connor was looking for. But all that matters is that as she starts to leap and celebrate, she will turn European bronze into world silver. What a great effort.
Yeah, what a great effort. What a great moment when Kate O'Connor, a little bit earlier today, won a silver medal at the World Indoor Athletics Championships. And I am delighted to say that Kate joins me now live from the stadium in Nanjing in China. Kate, a world medalist. How does that feel?
That's madness. Do you know what? You even just saying that just is madness. I can't believe it. Yeah, crazy.
Yeah, I kind of we were all gathered around the TV screens here in the office, screaming you on in the final event. What were the nerves like? So you went into that race, the 800 in the bronze medal position. I mean, a phenomenal run to get up into silver. But what were the nerves like beforehand?
To be honest, I kind of was actually pretty cool and calm going in. Well, somewhat. But I knew I had a job to do and I knew that like I was in good shape. I just wanted to go out and just run a race that I'd be proud of. If I got the bronze, I got the bronze, but I really, really, really wanted the silver. So, I wanted to go out and just run as hard as I could and put it up to the American girl and see if she could hold on.
And how conscious were you of where they were? I mean, I guess that's another way of asking, where's the big screen on this track? Could you see exactly where they were in relation to you?
Yeah, this track was a little bit better. I could kind of see, I checked with about a lap and a half to go and I could see that she was still there but starting to kind of fade away a little bit. So that kind of gave me a little bit more to kind of dig in and push on. But that was a hard 800. I'm not going to lie. Like my mouth was so dry. It was really hot in there. On the last lap, as I was running around, I just kept saying to myself, how much do you want this medal? And that's just kind of what I did to motivate myself to get around. I wanted an upgrade from the bronze that I got at Europeans, so I was willing to do anything to get that.
Oh, you're going to have to go for the whole set now, Kate.
You know what? Never say never. I'll never rule myself out. And the plan is to go off and work hard now for outdoor season, keep healthy, and who knows what could happen.
Well, listen, you've obviously been working hard because people who, were watching the European indoors and now the world indoors as well, they'll have been struck not just by your overall performance and the two medals, but by the amount of PBs that you were setting in different events. I mean, you're in a really rich vein of form.
To be honest, coming off the Olympics, I kind of had a realization that I put in a lot of work. Multi-eventers put in a lot of work. We're seven athletes in one body. And I kind of just made a decision that if I was going to do it, I was going to do it 100%. And I suppose I'm just reaping the rewards of just hard work. It's nice to turn up to competitions and feeling healthy and just kind of almost showing off what you've been doing in training. But things like this don't come easy. There's a lot of hard work that goes on behind the scenes, and I've got a great team around me that have supported me and put in a lot of hard work too. So, this medal isn't just down to me; it's down to a lot of people.
Mm. And how? So, maybe paint a picture for us. What's that like in terms of preparation? The difference now, say, between what you're doing and what you were doing maybe pre-Olympics, how you've stepped it up?
I think mindset is probably the biggest thing.
Okay.
I just think that, like, not just my mindset, but everybody that works with me's mindset has changed. I think that's really one of the biggest things that's pushed me on. People expect more of me and I expect more of myself. So that's kind of day in, day out. Instead of giving 90%, I've been given 100%. And yeah, I suppose I've just been reaping the rewards of that.
How conscious were you going into this of how long it's been since we've won a medal at this event in particular. It's Derville in 2006. I don't. You probably don't remember what. Do you remember watching Derville win that in 2006?
No.
Oh, okay. No. Don't do this to me. This is terrible.
I was too young.
Oh, God.
I was five. Yeah. No, I don't. And to be honest, I wasn't too aware of what the history was. I kind of was just like wanting to be very focused on what I was doing. And just focus on myself, as selfish as that kind of sounds. I didn't want any extra pressures kind of going on, and I wanted just to go out and just do what I could do, no matter whether I got a medal or whether I didn't. And I just wanted to enjoy the competition as much as I can. But in saying that, how cool is that? But I suppose I've broke that curse, shall I say? It hasn't been a curse.
A drought. We'll call it a drought, not a curse.
A drought. A drought is a good word. it's nice that I've kind of stopped that drought and put a bit of water in there.
Yeah, and listen, we hope others will kind of follow suit. And I talked about you being in this rich vein of form. Irish athletics is in this rich vein of form. You know, between Derville and now, Rob won a few medals, you know, on the track and on the roads, walking, which were incredible, but he was kind of a lone soldier to a degree in that regard. And Tom Barkev, as he came, you know, painfully close in Rio. And now we find ourselves kind of, you know, way down with success. It's absolutely amazing. You know, we're all going to be waiting to see kind of Sarah Lavin and Sarah Healy running and, Mark English, obviously, recently as well, still probably in kind of celebratory form. It's incredible, isn't it?
Yeah, it's amazing. And it's great to be a part of. There's a lot of history kind of going down. And I suppose I'm lucky in a way because I'm flying the flag for multi-events and I'm flying the flag for field eventers, which is nice. This is Irish has a lot of history in distance running and not maybe too much in recent times in the field events. So, I feel really proud to kind of fly that flag for Ireland, I suppose, in a way. And it's just great to be a part of athletics at the moment. It's really starting to get hyped up in Ireland. And I think that like the sport in a whole is just being appreciated a little bit more. It's quite a part of, and I'm hoping to do a lot more in the future.
Yeah, well, listen, we hope you do too. And it really was, there was kind of wild celebrations here. I'm sure there as well. Have you got much crew with you? Are your family over?
My uncle's actually over, but I mean, it's been a long way for people to come. My family have all been watching at home, though, taking the days off work and off school to sit and watch me. So, yeah, I actually haven't spoken to them yet. So I'm looking forward to going and having a chat with them.
Well, listen, all that truancy has paid off, at least in a medal. There's something at the end of it for all of them, including you. Kate, it's been such a pleasure. Thank you so much and congratulations again.
Thank you very much. Thanks for chatting.
Owen Sheehan is with me in studio from Off the Ball listening to that. What an afternoon for her.
Absolutely unbelievable. So just to reiterate, it is Ireland's first ever global multi-events medal. I've always seen the multi-event events as things for Great Britain and the USA and the countries with loads of athletes to actually partake in. And this is just testament to what Kate O'Connor has done, because certainly in this era, she's done it without standing on the shoulders of anybody else, really. There is no heptathlete or an indoor pentathlete that has actually come anywhere near the global stage for Ireland. When you talk about this island, the last one in that sort of air is Mary Peters, and that's a long time ago. So that alone is a remarkable thing. I think even the specifics of even just competing in the sport is remarkable. Like the heptathlon happens over 2 days, doing the five events in the one day in the pentathlon, the endurance, the psychology work she's done over the last couple of years is really interesting.
It's interesting, that's what she said there as well. Yeah. You know, that I was talking about the PBs, you know, post-Olympics that she's had. She said, she changed a lot. And when I asked her, what did she change? It was all psychological stuff. It was mindset things. It's not necessarily training, but mindset has changed.
Yeah, because there's a lot of setbacks. There's a lot of things coming at you in one day. She talks about, obviously, in that interview with you there, her team and the entourage that you have to have around you for all the different disciplines. But I know, obviously, her father's been a key part in all of this as well. And I know logistics has been one of the words that gets attached to him. But I suspect being a logistics manager for a pentathlete slash heptathlete is a pretty big job, to be fair.
It is. Listen, it's absolutely brilliant, and fair play to her. And listen, we've got plenty more Irish interest as well with Sarah Lavin and Sarah Healy and others at the World Indoors. So we'll be keeping a close close eye on it over the next couple of days. We're going to be talking about the rugby, the Six Nations a little bit later in the show, actually. Anna Kaplis and Alison Miller will be joining me after 6 o'clock. But actually, going to cast our mind back, we were chatting to Nathan yesterday evening on the game, on the show before the game, the Bulgaria game. And it looked like kind of it was curtains at one stage. We were going down to level C, the third tier, Ryan C. But a good result in the end.
Yeah, or what would that be? Division 2A, I think, is what they call the third tier in Nations League speak. Yeah, it was one of those goals that came from an effort on the edge of the box that just seemed to dribble for an eternity and eventually went in off the post. And it was like, this happens again and again, no matter who the manager is, no matter who the goalkeeper is, this tends to happen. And then Ireland were really good. They had less possession than Bulgaria last night, but it felt they controlled the game completely. Finn Azaz, who scored the first goal last night, he scored 10 goals and 11, and he's got notched 11 assists for Middlesbrough in the Championship this season. He has been brilliant in that division all year. Hamer Halgrimsson entrusted him with a start in one of his first games as Republic of Ireland manager, and there were a few eyebrows raised, but I think last night he proved that. But the story really is Matt Doherty, dropped by Hamer for his first squad, comes back, scores with a great header last night.
So is it just a case that they win in the return leg and that's it? They've secured their status? I've given up long ago trying to understand how the Nations League works.
This is a very simple Nations League playoff. Winner of this tie will play in League B next time, and the loser of this tie will play in League C the next time.
Finally a game with a simple solution in the Nations League. So let's talk about the other leagues then. The hurling and football this weekend. Tipper already in a league final. Yeah. And we know who's getting relegated.
Yes.
And Clare and Wexford on the way down to Division 1B, as you say, in league speak. It's a question of who's going to be in that league final with Tip. So who could get in?
Yeah, Cork-Galway is the crucial fixture. That's tomorrow evening at 7:30. Cork in second place on 7 points. Galway in fourth place on 6 points. Obviously, Kilkenny can still get in there. They've played all their games, but Cork being 1 point ahead of Kilkenny actually ensure that Kilkenny can't make it, now that I say it. These permutations can sometimes be head-scratching.
Yes.
So Cork-Galway is basically a shootout for a final spot alongside Tipperary in the 1A final. Tipperary already there. Meanwhile, in 1B, Offaly up, promoted in the final. Obviously, they've changed this year now where you have a final in 1B, a final in 1A, but it's two up, two down. So Wexford and Clare going down to 1B, and then it's going to be Offaly and another going up, Waterford in the box seat there.
What about in the football side of things? It's all in the mix, is it?
It pretty much is. Again, if you were to go through all the permutations, you could be here all day. But if you look at the top two divisions, we know one of the teams that's relegated in each of those divisions, Derry, are gone from Division 1. And Derry this weekend are going to Armagh. Armagh are fighting for their lives. They need to stay up. So there is actually something on the line for them in that game. Galway versus Kerry is an interesting one. Kerry can get relegated. They still have an outside chance of making a league final. But I'm starting to think of late that Galway are really gunning for this league title, so they're going to play a strong team, I suspect, against Kerry this weekend. Mayo Donegal, I would say the opposite about Donegal. I think they'll be happy enough not to make that league final at this point, so Mayo
take the opportunity to prepare for Championship.
Exactly, because they have that Derry match the week after the league final. So for Donegal in particular, it's just a bit of a red flag having to play in Croke Park a week before that. And in Tyrone versus Dublin, Tyrone second from bottom at the moment. If he wraps it up now, they will be relegated. So they've a lot on the line. But again, the Dubs are just going in the right direction at the moment. And you could see Desi Farrell thinking to himself, I'd love to get my hands into silverware. So Galway, Dublin, Mayo, I think two from that three will be the league final. And I think it might stay as it is at the moment, which is Galway and Dublin. And then I suspect Tyrone are going to go down with Derry.
You know, there was a period after VAR was introduced where every conversation about the Premier League became about VAR, and we were kind of in that territory with the new rules in football. So eventually we just have to stop talking about them and get on with it. But how have the tweaks been received?
Really good, actually. There was a brilliant Jordan Flynn goal scored for Mayo last weekend, and that came after the Hooter. And when the Hooter went, Mayo were like, okay, we got to get a goal here quick. Then they got turned over and they were like, we got to get a goal really quick. And then they got turned over and then Mayo scored an absolute banger of a goal. So that was really, really good. The goalkeeper situation where they've removed the overload of the man in the opposition half, it hasn't actually prevented the likes of Niall Morgan and Rory Beggan invading the other half. All of the goalkeepers have pretty much reverted to the norm. Coincidence or not a coincidence, last week was Stephen Cluxton's first game in the National League. the first game after the rule has been changed on the goalkeeper. So I don't suspect we're going to be seeing Cluxton appear in the opposition half too often, let's just say. But I do think it was a genuine coincidence. And what were the other ones? I can't think off the top of my head at the moment. But
well, that you have a bit more leniency about going over the halfway line.
Yes.
You know what I mean? That
yes.
It's not as militant. The halfway line is a slightly fuzzy line, I guess. That's how you might describe it.
4 metres or thereabouts is what you're allowed to do in terms of encroaching. There might be further tweaks. I know Jim McGuinness was talking about the 2-pointer for a dead ball that's put between the posts. He still thinks that's a bit ridiculous, and he may well have a point.
All right. Well, listen, we'll have to see how all that plays out. We'll have to see how the games play out this weekend. Plenty of coverage and off the ball tonight. Previews of the weekend, previews of the rugby as well, the Six Nations. We're going to have our own preview after 6 o'clock. In the meantime, Owen, thanks a million for that.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.